And, of course, we're with pharmacist Ben Fuchs from CriticalHealthNews.com. The website's getting slammed, but they tell me it's functioning fine. Or you can call 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO, and we will be back with your calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And we are back with pharmacist Ben from CriticalHealthNews.com. Let's go to first-time caller Sebastian in Crystal Beach, Texas. Sebastian, you're up with us.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Sebastian.
First off, I would like to say that it's an honor to speak with you, sir.
Well, thank you.
I've been listening to your show for a very long time, and it's also an honor to speak with you, Mr. Ben.
Thank you.
But I would like to say, first off, that I've been noticing in a lot of the research that I've done, and more recently, that sugar absolutely does feed cancer. And, like, I've heard about this recipe that you can, with two simple ingredients that you can find at, well, almost any grocery store, an unspecified brand of organic baking soda and maple syrup. And it seems like it would work because the cancer feeds on the sugar, so when you boil the baking soda with the maple syrup, it would bond to it, and then the cancer would attack the syrup to eat it, and then it would be alkalized by the baking soda.
Well, isn't that clever? That's very interesting.
Have you heard of that, Ben?
No, I hadn't heard of that.
But I had heard of it a couple years ago. But
I'm going to do a little research on that. Thank you for sharing.
There is a doctor in Italy that uses sodium bicarbonate.
Yeah, baking soda is amazing, amazing stuff.
And pumps it right into the tumor.
Yeah, I believe it. Yes, sugar, acid is very, cancer loves acid. Sugar is very acid producing. Acid's very interesting. Acid's a waste product. But you want to hear something cool about cancer cells? I mean, if it could be anything cool. Cancer cells are actually pretty darn amazing. A cancer cell can actually use its own waste for fuel. How do you like that? A cancer cell can actually feed off its own waste. A cancer cell is one of the most amazing things in all of biology. And it's almost as if a regular cell gives up its ability to live forever, its immortality, in order to cooperate and form organs and tissues. And it's almost as if the cells say, you know, forget it. I'm not going to do it. When we abuse our body with sugar and with drugs and with bad thinking, it's almost like the cells say, forget it. I'm just going to go back to my old way of being, which is what a cancer cell is. It's a very ancient cell. And I'm going to divide forever. I'm going to be immortal.
And conquer.
I'm going to conquer. Exactly. I'm not going to cooperate anymore.
What's that saying? Divide and conquer. That's how they got it.
A cancer cell is a sociopathic cell. And it's learned to become sociopathic because it's been starved and suffocated and toxic for so long. And you know what, George? Cancers remit. There's remissions happen, spontaneous remissions.
Oh, of course they do.
So if cancers can remit in one person, that means the body's capable of handling it. So what we want to be doing is we want to be leveraging this power that's built into the body. They have this thing called immunotherapy. Have you heard of this? Immunotherapy?
Mm-hmm.
Where they jack up your immune system in order to fight cancer. What does that tell you? That tells you we have a defense system that can take care of cancer. So what we want to be doing is figuring out how is the body doing this and taking advantage of that. Instead of medicalizing and drugging and chemotherapy, which is barbaric beyond belief, we want to figure out how is the body handling cancer and take advantage of those mechanisms on its own, non-toxic, powerful mechanisms that the body can do utilize on its own.
Does a cell have intelligence?
Does a what?
A cell have its own intelligence.
You know, if I took a cell out of my mouth and I put it in a dish, and then I went into another room and I thought something nasty about the cell, that cell would register the thought.
No.
Yes, there's a book called The Secret Lives of Cells written by a guy named Clive Baxter.
Oh, yeah, he's right? No longer with us,
but he's a lie detector guy.
He also did work on plants.
And he did work on plant cells, that's exactly right, in plants. And what he just did simple experiments. He would take lie detector electrodes, stick them in the cells, or stick them in the plants, and do all kinds of crazy things. Talk about the plants, think about killing the plants, think about killing the cells, talk nicely about the cells, and the cells would respond.
Yes.
That's intelligence, right?
That is intelligence.
That's pretty amazing.
Next up, let's go to Trent in Baker, California. Hi, Trent. Thanks for calling.
Hello. It is a pleasure to speak with you again, Mr. Norrie and Mr. Ben.
Thank you.
Such an awesome day. Fortunate and favored. I have a theory in regard to the fatty liver syndrome that's occurring and how it correlates to diabetes from sick skinny people and sick fat people, and then using apple cider vinegar to help dissolve the extra fat that's created around the liver from sugar. And I was just curious as to your thoughts on that, Mr. Ben, and you guys have a great night.
Thank you, Trent.
Yeah, Trent's right on. We have a major epidemic of fatty liver disease, so significant that these days, George, when you go to the doctor, if you're in your 50s, he'll say, oh, you got a little fatty liver, but that's normal. They call it normal to have fatty liver. That's how significant.
Normal. I would think it would be unacceptable.
Right. It's unacceptable because the liver is a majorly important organ for a lot of reasons. Hundreds of different chemical, biochemical reactions occur in the liver that are important for health. When the liver becomes fatty, it's a sign that the liver has been abused, most importantly by sugar. In fact, liver disease is part of something called metabolic syndrome, which is a classic example, a demonstration of what sugar does to the body. Metabolic syndrome is a whole syndrome of symptomology that includes high blood pressure and cardiovascular disease and Alzheimer's disease and fatty liver disease and obesity and on and on and on. So the gentleman's right on. Trent was right on. However, he said something very interesting about apple cider vinegar.
Patricia Bragg would love that.
Oh, my God. Apple cider vinegar is one of the most amazing substances there is because it contains a very special kind of fat that is water soluble. That means it's really easy for the body to process, like water soluble nutrients, but has the energy of a fat. And that's amazing in the world of nutrition. In fact, you can utilize this combination of water soluble fat to clean your counters. I have a housekeeper that comes and cleans my counters every couple of weeks. She uses apple cider vinegar to clean the counters because the fatty component of the apple cider vinegar cleans the dirt, and the water-soluble component makes it real easy to work with. It's volatile. It disappears really quickly. In the body, what it means is quick energy, powerful energy, and energy that helps the body process toxins. Apple cider vinegar on top of all that helps the body helps us digest proteins and other foods and activates enzymes. So I can't think of a more simple, elegant, inexpensive health strategy than to be ingesting a couple of teaspoons of apple cider vinegar every day and with your meals. And you know what? You get energy when you do apple cider vinegar as well from all those water-soluble fats, specifically the acetic acid.
Let's go to Montreal. Linda's with us on the international line. Hey, Linda, go ahead.
Hi. I'd like to know about ovarian or uterine cancer. So, and they're pushing surgery and chemo. What is one supposed to do?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, it depends on how deteriorated or broken down or how progressed the cancer is. In the uterus and in the female reproductive system, you have a major hormonal player called estrogen. I'm sure you've heard of that.
Yes.
Estrogen
yes.
speeds things up. It's a hyper hormone. It makes things grow and makes cells divide and increases inflammation. It's got a lot of importance to it because it's a growth hormone, a growth substance, but it also tends to fuel cancer, especially when estrogen is not processed correctly. Estrogen is eliminated by the body really quickly because it's so, so potent in such small amounts. But in order for it to be eliminated, the liver has to be working correctly, the intestines have to be working correctly, you have to have probiotics. If I were you, the couple of things I would do. First of all, because calories feed cancer, intermittent fasting can be very helpful for slowing things down. That's your main strategy. Also, the ketogenic diet. I know you've heard about the ketogenic diet, George. It's a high-fat, low-calorie diet that calms the body down and gives it energy without a lot of work. So make sure you might want to be leveraging the power of ketones with the ketogenic diet. Make sure you're on a supplement program. Get on the Beyond Tangy Tangerine. Sip on it all day long. Make sure you're using your Ultimate EFA.
I take the capsules too, Ben. It's
like
easier for me.
Instead.
Much easier.
In addition to or instead?
Instead.
Instead of. Okay. I like the liquid. There's more nutrients in the liquid, but yeah, the capsules are a little bit more handy. Either way, make sure you're using the Beyond Tangy Tangerine because it's got all of your nutrients. And remember, starvation, suffocation, and toxification is where we get into this pickle. So making sure you're nutriating correctly. Keeping your sugar intake down is also very important. And because estrogen is a fatty substance, and because reproductive-type cancers are fatty-type cancers, making sure you're doing two things for fats. Number one, moving your lymph. get on a rebounder, jump up and down, hang upside down in an inversion device, do some kind of exercise. Deep breathing also helps facilitate the lymph and oxygen, helps improve oxygenation. Cancer hates oxygen. And then the second aspect of fat metabolism is making sure you're using essential fatty acids and good fats and fatty nutrients like vitamin E and coenzyme Q10.
And you know, Ben, I would not stop conventional medicine. I think there's a mixture here.
Well, you can always, you know, conventional medicine has its place. I'm not Pollyannish about the need for conventional medicine. And when you're, you know, when push comes to shove, taking an organ out may be something that needs to be done. That's why I say it depends on how deteriorated the tissue is and how progressed the cancer is. So yes, your point is very well taken. There are times you need to have a cancerous organ removed. Absolutely.
Jay writes, what do you think of bone broth as an effective meal substitute?
Oh, man. Eggs, I was talking about eggs earlier, and that's the perfect food. Bone broth is absolutely amazing for building things, you know, and also for the immune system. I've been talking about bone broth for years because we learned about it in pharmacy school. Bone broth contains substances that support the immune system and support building. So for growth, for repair, post-surgery, pre-surgery, for anti-aging, for stimulating the immune system, for fighting cancer, for dealing with colds, endlessly valuable. We now have a bone broth protein product also. You can find out about it at criticalhealthnews.com. The proteins in bone broth are specific for building bone and building tissue. So they're ideal for anybody who's interested in growth and repair, especially older folks and athletes.
Another quick one, then we'll take some more calls here, Ben. The Rex writes, why was the wonder drug Tavist taken off the market in 2002? Now I'm forced to take antibiotics.
Now, does this gentleman say what he was dealing with? I mean, I'm not sure. What does he mean he's forced to take antibiotics? Does he take them regularly, or does he say?
He had fungal infections and things like that.
Okay, so here's the thing. The antihistamines, like Tavist, and there was another one that got taken off the market, were known for causing fatigue, lots of problems with fatigue. Antihistamines are associated with sleep. That's why people take Benadryl to fall asleep. So taking an antihistamine is not necessarily a good strategy, and also taking an antibiotic for a histamine-type reaction is not necessarily
Look, if the FDA takes something off the market, it's got to be bad.
You know what? We are the last stage in drug testing, George. There's different phases. There's three phases of drug testing. The last phase is us. And when a drug is released, it's released first and foremost, when it's released, to see how it works. So when we take a drug, we're the guinea pig.
We're the guinea pig. Then they yank it.
That's right. And we pay for it as well. And we pay a lot of money for it. The drug industry, the profit margins in drugs is so horrific, George. It's unreal. There's marking up will cost less than a penny for 100 pills to thousands of dollars at the end of the day. There's no industry that's as profit intensive.
Let's go to Lynn in Beaverton, Oregon. Welcome to the show. Hi, Lynn. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I have a quick question and then also a comment about the yeast and the recipes that use yeast that calls for putting sugar in it, too, to help the yeast grow. So that's anyone who does baking knows that.
That's right.
That sugar is for growing that. But I wanted to ask about, aside from butter for cooking, are there any cooking oils that you recommend?
Oils are very, very tricky, and it's not a good idea to cook with any of them, in my humble opinion. Coconut oil, perhaps, is more stable than liquid oils. Liquid oils are a huge problem. Cooking with them is a huge problem. It's really not a good idea to cook with oils. Use water. You know, you can actually cook with water, or you can also cook with lecithin. Have you heard of this stuff, lecithin?
Yeah.
Lecithin is Pam cooking spray is lecithin. But you can get straight sunflower lecithin.
What about a little butter?
Butter's the best. Butter's the best. Butter contains those same fats that are in apple cider vinegar, very similar to the fats that are in apple cider vinegar.
Anything's better than cooking with margarine and that kind of stuff.
No, George. Nobody should ever, ever, ever eat margarine or fake butter. They are awful foods. Margarine in particular is one of the most awful foods known to man. It's not even a food.
They clog you up, don't they?
What's that?
They clog up your arteries.
It clogs up your arteries. It messes up your heart. It messes up your liver. It's fake fat. The body doesn't know what to do with fake fat. Remember, you know, George, we're talking about the self. The cells have a menu that they eat from, and this menu is 3.5 billion years old. It hasn't changed in 3.5 billion years. But the foods we eat today, like margarine and fake butter, the cell doesn't know what to do with these kinds of fats, so it tries to incorporate the fake butter in instead of the regular fat, and you end up with a fake butter cell. You end up with a chocolate or a French fry or a potato chip cell. And fats are the brains of the cell. So you end up with a dumbed-down cell from the fake fats and the cooked fats and the processed fats. And this is one of the most important reasons why you want to stay away from cooked fats, especially liquids, cooked liquid fats.
Doc was talking about Crisco the last time he was on. I think he said it was a derivative from what they used in submarines to degrease it.
Yeah, it's cottonseed oil, grease. Crisco is crystallized cottonseed oil. That's where you get the name Crisco. It's an awful substance. They don't use cottonseed anymore. Cottonseed oil anymore because it's so egregiously bad. But they still use lousy oils to create fake solid oils. It's an awful, awful substance.
Sam in Palo Alto, California, is with us. Sam, go ahead.
Is it Sam or Pam?
Sam.
This is Sam. How are you?
Good, Sam. Good. Go ahead.
Hey, listen, first of all, you guys are great communicators, and George, I've always admired the fact that you're neutral.
I try to be, Sam. I hold back, but I try to be.
No, you're really good at this. You know, it's not like you're the Democrat or the Republican or the left or the right. I really appreciate that. By the way, excuse me if I sound a little tired. I just came from Stanford University Medical school, and I was there 8.5 hours and met with 11 doctors.
Wow.
So, in one room.
About your condition or something else?
Yeah, squamous cell carcinoma.
Okay.
But anyway, I just wanted to share something with you. I've done quite a bit of studying. First of all, I totally believe in supportive foods and supporting your body. And I think that most people, if they didn't do the things they do to screw themselves up, most people wouldn't get that sick. And a lot of people think, like, for example, smoking cigarettes, they think, well, that could give me lung disease, okay? Truth of the matter is, smoking tobacco can give you cancer anywhere.
Yes, right.
And same with liquor. A large amounts of liquor can also bring on cancer. And one of the interesting things, just a side note here, is you hear about the pharmaceutical companies and all their stuff, and I personally think they're crooks. One of the biggest entities behind this whole cover-up are the liquor companies, because you think about it, how many liquor stores are there on every block? So they're moving so much liquor in this country, and they do not want to have people not want to be numbed up by that. But the reason I'm calling is, in the meeting today, I had a sort of an interesting conversation because I've been studying the fact that cancer eats sugar and they don't like oxygen, and I've gotten into some pretty serious stuff.
That was our big story today. Hold on, Sam. I've got to hit a break, but we'll come back and get you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, Rich Martini joins us as we talk about the afterlife. He's got some great new material. I'm looking forward to that. We're going to come back in a moment with pharmacist Ben Fuchs, criticalhealthnews.com, as we take the rest of your phone calls and try to help you as much as we can. We're back with pharmacist Ben from criticalhealthnews.com, and once again, let me give you that phone number to call for assistance whenever you want to call, 1-855-949-RADIO. That's all you need to think about. Let's go back to Sam now in Palo Alto. So, Sam, you were there with about 8 doctors listening to you. What happened?
So, this is very fascinating, but first of all, I got to share some with you, George, because you deserve to know this if you don't. You know why half the men in Greece are called George?
Why?
They're named after George the Dragon Slayer.
Uh-huh.
So this is actually who you are. I've listened to you for years. And the Dragon Slayer shows a man on a horse, and he's got a very long spear, and he's sticking it down the throat of a dragon. And so it's a great man that basically goes out against darkness and things that are not truthful and slays it.
I like that.
So, you're George the Dragon Slayer. You can start calling your show that, I guess, right? So anyway, a couple of just fascinating things, and I won't take up too much time. Number one, the body takes in sugar from anything. You don't want to be pouring sugar down yourself because that's stupid. You know, it's not good for you. But it takes it in from fruits, it takes it in from vegetables, even in small amounts. So even though cancer lives on sugar, it gets it no matter if you take sugar in or not. I mean, you'd starve to death. And plus, the brain has to live off of glucose. So you it would be cool if you could stop all sugar somehow. But then, of course, you wouldn't have a brain. And the other thing is, but we actually talked about that today. I thought it was fascinating. And the other thing is that I did a little bit of studying on, there's this misnomer that if you alkalize your body, having it acidic, you're going to be able to change your pH, but that's not true. Your body will always keep it about the same as it is, or you would die. So what it does is, if you have a body that's too alkaline or too acidic, what it does is it goes into your bones in different places, and it pulls out what it needs to balance it out, because it always stays the same. So therefore, if you are too much in one direction, you can cause osteoporosis, these kinds of things, from being low on one, because again, it will always stay the same, but you'll be pulling out what you need from your bones, but it's not going to change the cancer. So those are just two things I could be wrong, but there's I will tell you one thing. The person that I'm working with, I don't want to mention the name on the phone, but she's not only the chair of Stanford University, which is a very respected school, but she's also one of the top internationally known cancer specialists. And all the people I was with today were professors, and they're top notch. But I think the supportive thing, I think if people took what you're talking about, Ben, and we actually did this stuff in our life instead of trashing our minds, trashing our spirits, trashing our bodies, we would live a long time. But we abuse ourselves with all the things that you're talking about. And so that's why I sort of believe that if somebody has, I'll say one more thing, I'll stop. Two friends of mine are both scientists, and they are actually producers of some of the finest echinacea in the world and a lot of other herbal supplements.
And that's great for building your immune system, Ben, isn't it?
Stuff. Amazing, amazing. Herbs are amazing in general. You know they're weeds, right? The best medicine grows out of the cracks of sidewalks. How cool is that, right? The earth is covered with medicine.
The planet takes care of itself.
It's amazing. I tell a story a lot. There was a fire here in Boulder a few years ago, and within a month of the fire, it was covered with St. John's wort, which is one of the most amazing herbs for healing burns. The earth is so amazing and plants are so amazing. It's hard not to become very spiritual when you start to study these things. By the way, do you know how the body's supposed to be alkalinized? It's not food. That's silly. The way the body's supposed to become alkalinized is with the most powerful biological alkaline element there is, which is called oxygen. Oxygen is how we're supposed to be alkalinized. And by the way, acid, which cancer thrives on, is elevated because it's a waste product. And it's a sign that the body is either too toxic or its cells aren't clearing themselves out fast enough.
That's right.
So acidity and alkalinity is not something you really manipulate by just manipulating the acidity and alkalinity. You breathe more effectively, and you blow off carbon dioxide, which is acidic, and you stay away from the toxins, and you get on a nutritional supplement program, and you stabilize your blood sugar. It's the same triad of control points that is involved in all diseases.
Ava writes, heart murmur, leaking valves, what can we do without surgery? I don't know if there's much you can do without the surgery.
No, man. There's lots you could do. You can use, for one thing, electrolytes. The heart runs on electrolytes. It's energized by electrolytes. Electrolytes, potassium.
And magnesium.
Exactly. They're so important that I used to work in hospital pharmacies. Every hospital pharmacy, every hospital emergency room has magnesium, it has potassium, it has sodium, it has chloride. For heart attack victims, magnesium is your best friend when you've had a heart attack. So for the cardiovascular system, think electricity. The cells of the heart are the most highly electrical cells in the body, maybe including the cells of the nervous system. These highly electrical cells depend on electrolytes, and they depend on B vitamins for energizing. And interestingly, These are the key nutrient deficiencies that we have because they dissolve in water and we urinate them out. This is why the Beyond Tangy Tangerine is so darn important. I mean, I could talk all day about that stuff. The Beyond Tangy Tangerine is an electrolyte drink. It's a B vitamin drink. It's a vitamin C drink. George, I know I've been working with longevity now for 19 years, so maybe it's
19 years?
19 years.
Wow.
Yeah, since it started.
Seems like yesterday for you.
It seems, you know how fast 19 years goes by, right?
Too fast.
So to me, there is no more important nutritional supplement that you can take than sipping on that Beyond Tangy Tangerine all day long, especially if you're dealing with a heart problem, a cardiovascular problem, or a neurological issue.
Next up, let's go to Jim in Bellingham, Washington. Welcome to the program, Jimmy. Go ahead.
Come on. Hello.
Hey.
Well, we lost him. Let's go to John in Citrus Heights, California. Welcome to the show. Go ahead, John.
Hey, thank you. Quick question is, what's the long-term effects of taking methadone? Like, what does it specifically do to one's liver? And then, secondly, how does one best get off of methadone? Is there anything that is helpful?
Yeah, there's a few things that you could do to get off of opiates. And opiates are majorly toxic for the liver.
Oh, my point, God.
As you point out correctly. Yeah, this whole opiate thing is out of control, right, George? I mean, it's
this epidemic.
It's mind-blowing. Relax the body. We take opiates because we want to relax. Opiates give the body a sense of peace and calm and well-being. And the reason they do is because we have opiates in our brain. And so when you're under stress or under duress, the body, how beautiful the body is, how intelligent and the divine wisdom that's programmed into the body, when we are under major, major duress, boom, natural opiates get secreted. Well, think about it. We discovered a way to get, you know, knock off the natural opiates that are supposed to be secreted when we're under duress. We're all under duress. Is it no wonder we got this opiate problem? We're all under duress. Calm the body down. Remember, it's like a baby. It's a crying baby. Oxygen is so important. Hot water, and we talked about that earlier. As far as nutrients go, there's a wonderful nutrient called GABA, G-A-B-A, which is one of the natural calm the body down or calm brain down chemicals. Very easy to find, GABA. Also, the B complex, as we were talking earlier, very, very important for stress management. Vitamin C, very, very important for stress management. Sip on your Beyond Tangy Tangerine when you're weaning yourself off of any drug, whether it's an opiate or a beta blocker drug or calcium channel blocker drug. And I believe personally, as a pharmacist, I'm speaking now, if you're on a drug that's chronic and long-term and you're going to be on it the rest of your life, if you're serious about your health, with your doctor, tell your doctor, you don't have to ask him, tell him, I want to wean myself off this med, and I want to start using lifestyle strategies to do naturally, in a non-toxic way, what these medications are doing. And you always want to work with your doctor when you're doing this, because your doctor's in it. You know, I rip on the medical model as much as anybody, but the individual doctors are good people, most of them, and they want to help. And they're trying to help you out if they're prescribing a drug. They don't know. They're not evil people that are trying to poison you. They want to help. So what you want to work with your physician, but you tell them, look, I don't want to be taking this toxic substance all my life. I want to wean myself off. I want to start using lifestyle strategies. And anybody who's on a chronic drug for a chronic or long-term or lifetime period, this is should be a major, major health goal. And we can help you do that, by the way, if you're stuck on a drug. Right? Send a note to health@criticalhealthnews.com or call criticalhealthnews.com and tell them you want to wean yourself off your meds and get on a good nutritional supplement program, and we can help you do that.
You can't stop cold turkey, though.
No,
it's the wrong thing to do.
You don't want to stop cold turkey, and you don't want to do it on your own, and you don't want to do it without changing your life, because these things are Band-Aids, you know? You don't want to – they're holding you in place. So you don't want to just get yourself off the drug and not and still continue with the same bad habits that got you into the pickle that caused you to need the drugs in the first place.
We've got Robert in Southern Oregon. Welcome to the show. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, Robert.
Hi, George and Ben. Thank you very much for taking the call.
You're very welcome.
You're a wonderful, nice program. Sincerely, in gratitude, I really appreciate being the privilege of being able to hear this.
Thank you.
So I have a rather difficult, unusual problem. I'm taking Ativan a fair amount to try to control a very strange problem, and it's not working. My mother is a control freak beyond belief, and this, George, I tried texting you several times. I don't know if you, I hadn't heard from you. I don't know if it went through or something. But maybe this is not exactly the program for this, but I had to come do something because I'm going out of my mind trying to deal with it. She leaves an imprint in the phone, I believe, in the, it's almost like a supernatural virus. And when I hold the phone, it's almost like spiritual attachments with other things as well. And I feel like I'm being pulled physically down a rodeo with a wild horse or a bull. It's as real as the concrete I'm standing on.
Okay, it probably is. Now, that's not something Ben can help you with now. And Tom has the text phone, by the way, Robert, so I don't get the text messages he does, and they pile up. I mean, you can turn that phone on, and it doesn't stop. But Ben, he's got something supernatural going on there.
You know what? It's supernatural is real. You don't need to convince me of anything, you know, supernatural phenomena. However, I do believe that the body has an amazing ability to handle all kinds of stresses and all kinds of burdens. So this is where locus of control comes in. Where we have control is where we want to take control. So keeping your sugar down and doing all the strategies, digestive strategies, supplementation are all important. But you know what, George? This gets to the whole idea of the spiritual connection to health and well-being. To me, health comes from the word whole, and it means that we have to become whole again. We have to be spiritual beings. We have to understand how, we have to leverage our spirituality. We have to understand how to use our minds. We have to understand how to use our emotions. And then we have to understand how to work physically. There's no, in my experience, there is no such thing as a physical disease that does not have spiritual crisis behind it, and that does not have what I call stinking thinking behind it, that does not have some kind of dysfunctional emotions, whether they're anger or whether they're lack of forgiveness or whether they're rage or jealousy. You've got to work on all the different levels, and then you have to work physically by moving your body, resting your body, nutriating the body, breathing, and eliminating toxicity. And that's really the theme here, George. We have so much control where we have control. If something is coming in from another dimension, I can't address that.
There's a lot of common sense going on here.
Common sense, George. Why have we gotten away from this idea that we can handle our own business? There were no doctors 100,000 years ago. There were doctors only for the last 100, 150 years. We wouldn't have made it this far in evolution if we didn't know how to take care, if the body didn't know how to take care of its own health business. And everywhere you turn, when you understand how the body works, in every system you see healing, you see regenerating, you see renewing, and this is all the testimony to what's possible if you're sick, to what's possible if you're not feeling as good as you might, to what's possible if you're healthy but you're just not maximally healthy. The body is an amazing system, and it's designed to handle everything that life can throw at it.
Let's go to Jose in Houston. Hello, Jose. You're up with us.
Hello.
Hi.
Ben and George, I have a weird question for the for pharmacist Ben.
Nothing's weird here, Jose.
Okay. My wife started about 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks ago. She had three sneezes at work, and on the third sneeze, she had a real bad headache, and it won't go away. It's just a throbbing headache.
Did she stroke out, Ben?
Yeah, I would say I would be looking for other symptoms aside from the headache. Is she dizzy? Does she have any? Is there any kind of pain in her head? Or there's all kinds of stuff that you might want to look into, because absolutely that could have been something that
a broken blood vessel in the head
along those lines. I would be checking that out. I mean, in addition to all the lifestyle things we talked about, reducing burden on the body, I would be checking that out absolutely.
You never know.
Yeah.
What causes a sneeze?
Irritation. This is another amazing thing that the body does. It expels things. When stuff gets in the nose, it triggers
the reflex. It kicks it out, right?
It kicks it out. And by the way, this is the same thing with drugs. You know, when you have bloating, one of the most common side effects of prescription drugs is bloating and digestive discomfort and diarrhea and all the signs that the body's trying to get the stuff out.
But if she's got headaches, Jose, maybe a scan? What do you think, Ben?
Say again?
Some kind of brain scan?
I would be having that checked out, absolutely.
Yeah, if you're getting headaches after that.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. We have time for one more. Maybe let's go to Tim, truck driving in Hesperia, California. Go ahead, Tim.
Thank you, George. You're my hero.
Ah, thank you.
Pharmacist Ben, I've always had skin problems as far as dry hands and cracked heels on my feet. And I went to the doctor to because I had a nail fungus, and they gave me Lamisil, and he was reluctant to give me Lamisil, but after I was on Lamisil for a couple of weeks, all my skin problems healed up. I didn't have any more cracked heels or any problems like that.
Huh.
He was reluctant to put me on Lamisil because it's bad for your liver. I was just wondering
what drug, and there's better ways to deal with dry skin. But what it's showing you is that the yeast and fungus were involved in your skin problems. I've been in the skincare business for many, many years.
You're an expert on that.
I consider myself an expert in the skin. I can tell you this. When you have a skin problem, you don't have a skin problem. It's only showing up on the skin, and the problem is excrement. It's waste. It's the body handling toxicity inside the body, and that's how we want to address all skin issues, whether we're talking eczema or psoriasis, whatever. You want to help the body process waste or eliminate the cause of the toxicity in the first place, which is always going to be food. Focus on the digestive system first. When you have the digestive system is the skin inside out. Get yourself on the nightly essence from Youngevity. Use the Beyond Tangy Tangerine. Make sure you're on the Healthy Start Pack. Basically, the skin is the canary in the coal mine. It's telling you what's happening inside the body, and it's a good thing because it's a barometer. It's a diagnostic tool that you can use to assess what's happening inside your body. Get on a supplement program like the one designed by Doc Wallach. You'll find it at criticalhealthnews.com. Watch out for problem foods. Stabilize your blood sugar. Calm the body down. You hear us repeating ourselves over and over again, George, because it's the simple little things, the basic little things, the simple things that underlie complex phenomena, whether we're talking physics or whether we're talking the body, the simple little things.
The time has got us, Ben. I want to thank you. We'll talk to you next month, okay?
Thank you. Good to talk to you, George. Have a great night.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs from criticalhealthnews.com. And again, that phone number to call, if you've missed information, there'll be people there that can help assist you at 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. Up next, The Afterlife.